Okay, so we are now at the Gemara on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, 31b. So we had gone through a chunk of the process of how they would offer the Korban Tamid, the morning offering. We'll see if my son is still falling asleep in my arms. So hopefully we'll be able to stay asleep and we'll be able to go. But we'll probably end actually a little earlier than I was planning. But okay, so we're here, Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, the Gemara. So Tana, Yad V'Regel Kakedat Yitzchak Ben Avraham. So it says that the Mishnah had said that when they tie up the animal in order to slaughter it, so they would tie it hand to foot, like was done with Yitzchak, like the binding of Isaac. Lohayu Koftina Tatale, Maitama, Ravhuna, Ravchista, Chadamar Mishum Bizayon, Kodshim, V'Chadamar Mishum, Demahalach B'chukei Haminim. So they would not like tie all the feet and hands, the forearms, the forelegs and the hind legs. They wouldn't tie them all together. So why not? So they would do hand to foot, but they wouldn't tie them all together. Why not? So Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, they both disagreed. One of them said, because it's like disgraceful to tie up an animal like that. And so this is a sacrifice, it's disgraceful. The other one said that this is the way the non-Jews do it. And so we want to avoid practicing in the way that the non-Jews do it. My benayu. So what's the practical difference? Is there any situation where they would disagree? They both say that there's a problem here. So Gemara answers. I just lost where we were. My benayu benayu tichtafi bishrai inami b'chutzah d'tahava. If you use like a nice cord, if you use some sort of a golden ties of some sort, use something that looks nice. So in those cases, The concern of it being a bizayon, like disgraceful, is not really there because they're using these really fine golden ropes. But the issue that we had before, which is that this is the way the non-Jews do that with their sacrifices, so that still exists. All right, so continuing, tznan hatam shloshes shulchanot hayu b'mikdash. So this is, there were 13 tables that were in the Beit HaMikdash. Shmona shalshayish b'beit HaMitbachayim shalim metichin takravayim. So 8 of those 13 were in the area where the animals were slaughtered, and that's where they would wash off the limbs and the organs and everything inside the animals. Shnayim ma'arava shel kevesh, achad shel shayish v'achad shel kesef, al shel shayish nodnin eta evarim, v'shel kesef klei sharet. So there were two other tables next to the ramp ascending the Beit HaMikdash, ascending to the Mizbeach. There was one that was marble, and there was one that was silver and one was marble. So the marble one would be the one that they put like the limbs on. They were going to go up to the Mizbeach. While Shel Kesef Klishard, and silver one is where they would put the whatever vessels that were going to be used for the actual service. All right, Uve Olam. Shnayim bifnim al petach, the al shel petach. Hold on. Okay. Uva ulam shnayim bifnim al petach habayit. So in the ulam area, there were two at the near the doors. Chad shel kesef, chad shel zahav. One was silver, one was gold. Al shel kesef nornim lechem apanim bichnisato. Al shel zahav bitziato. And the silver one, that's where they would put when the lechem apanim, when the showbread was first baked off, they'd put it over there. And that's where people can still hear me. I'm sorry for the crack in the background, but people can still, everyone, someone give me a thumbs up. Okay, go. So the silver one was where they would come in after being baked as it's to cool down before being put there. And then after it's off the shulchan. Okay, little guy. Okay. I keep on losing where we are. Okay. So, al shel kesef nanin lechem apanim bichnisato, val shel zahav bitziato. When it comes off, when it's on its way out, they'd put it on the golden table. Why? Shemalim bekodesh v'lo moridim. We go up and we ascend in holiness. We don't go down, which is why you go from silver to the gold in that order. Ve'achad shel zahav bifnim shelav lechem apanim tamid. And then there was the golden one inside, and that was where the shulchan that the showbread actually stayed on. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to ask, Michti, We've established that you should always use, we always want to use the most, the precious, most, there should be no poverty in a place of wealth. So there should be, everything should be really fancy there. Amai Avdi Deshaish, so why would ever be marble anything? Silver and gold are significantly more better, significantly more valuable. They're more prestigious, they're nicer. So that's the case. So Niyabdi Dechasev, Niyabdi Zahav, make them out of silver, make it out of gold. Why use this lower, lower level, lower material, less quality, less shiny material? And Amar Rav Chinana b'shem Rabbi Asi, v'Rabbi Asi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak. Now the reason is because I think we mentioned this before also that it wouldn't allow the bread to breathe. It wouldn't allow it would end up starting to the farashi on the side says it would she would actually end up causing the bread to get hotter and then to spoil sooner. So if you want to do something marble, which keep it cool. Cool it down, and it would be better like that. Okay. Shel Shachar haya nishchat al kerem mizrachit tzvonit. So we mentioned the Mishnah that they would stick the animal's head neck through one of these hoops, these loops on the ground, and it would be on the northeastern mizrachit tzvonit on the northeastern side in the morning, and the northwestern side in the afternoon. So minahani milus. How do I know that? That the Torah says that they offer these two sacrifices for the day, meaning corresponding to the day. That is to say, wherever the sun is in the day, meaning towards the day. On the east, in the morning, the day, aka the sun, is on the east. In the evening, it's in the west. So they would do it in the eastern and then the western for the morning and afternoon, respectively. So Tanya Namihachu, we have a bright that says the same thing. Shnaim layom. Can I get hayom? You do it two for the day, meaning corresponding to the day, corresponding to where the sun is at that point in the day. Atomer neged hayom. Oh, in ela chovad hayom. So maybe who says that shnaim layom means towards the day, meaning where the sun is? Maybe it means twice a day, meaning twice every day. Well, how do I know that? Maybe how do I know that day doesn't mean actually day? So the Gemara says. Or the Gemara quoting the Brayta says, "Shomer et hakeves achat taseh b'boker et hakeves achat tayshani taseh ben harbaim." Rechovat hayom amor. Says, "Look, we already have a verse. The verse already tells us you offer two sacrifices: one in the morning, one in the afternoon." Rechovat hayom amor. So that's talking about the obligation to offer it twice a day. So now that we've already established that there's a mitzvah to do it twice a day, ha'mani makayim shnayim layom. So what does shnayim layom mean? Twice a day. We already know it's twice a day. So neged hayom. That means twice a day, meaning. Each day, each time, corresponding to the day, corresponding to where the sun is at that day. Haketzad, how so? It says, "Tamid shel shachar yanishchat al keren tzvoni amar avid al tabat shniyah v'shel bein harbayim yanishchat al keren tzvoni mizrachit al tabat shniyah." So it goes in the corners, corresponding to the day in the north. Shachar nishchat al keren tzfonit ma'aravit in the northwestern side, al tabat shniya the second loop, v'bein arbaim in the afternoon on the northeastern side. Okay. Trying to look here in the mifaresh. Not sure. You've got the English there, right, Charles? You want to explain why the northwestern side is why the morning? I guess because that's where the sun is. The sun's on the east. That's what it is. The sun's on the east, so it's shining, so it hits the western.
Opposite the northwest.
Opposite the sun, right? The sun's in the east, so you put it in the northwest. When the sun's in the west, you put it on the northeast. It goes in a diagonal. Okay. All right. Continuing in the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Asarat Varim Sha'al Alexandros Mokton et Zigneha Negev. So there were these 10 questions that Alexander Mokton, Macedon, asked the elders. Amar Lahen, he asked them, Minishmaim La'aretz Rachok o Mizrach Marav. What's a further distance? Earth to the heavens or east to west? Amrulo, they said to him, Mizrach L'Marav. It's actually east to west. East to west is the furthest distance. Teda, how do we know? Because when the sun is in the east, right, everyone can look at it. When the sun's in the west, everyone can look at it. I mean, sunrise and sunset, you can look at the sun, no problem. But the sun is in the middle of the sky. everyone, you can't look at it. It's too bright. You can't see it. So that tells you that it must be that it's closer when it's in the right directly above than it is when it's at the on the eastern or the western side. So that tells you that east to west are further apart than earth to the heavens. All right, the Chachamim Omrim. Chachamim say Zev Zeh Kechad Shavim. No, the Chachamim say no. It's actually they're all equidistant. Kigova Shemaim Al Haaretz. Kirchog Mizrak Mamarav V'Yichad Minayu Nafish. Nichtov Tarvayhu Kiyahu Dinafish. So clearly, they're actually both the equal distance, equidistant. Why? Because the verse equates them and it puts them as being the same distance. And if one of them was longer than the other one, it should have just said it should have equated everything. We wouldn't have equated the two. You would have gone with whatever one was the further distance. But the fact that they're equated tells me that they're equidistant. But if that's the case, if it's the sun is equidistant from Earth when it's on the eastern side, the western side, not directly above. So if that's the case, so then why is it that people are able to look at the sun when it's the sunrise and sunset, but not in the middle of the day? The Gemara answers, Mishum dekai lehedya velo kasi lemidi. So, okay, because I guess I'm not really sure exactly what this means. I think the Mefarish here says on the side, he says, Begilui he omitted. When it's above, it's like directly revealed. Below kasi lamidi, there's nothing that could possibly get in the way of it. Bishvilkach ora mazkir umazik la'inaim hamabitot sham. So because I guess when it's on the eastern edge or on the western edge, there's more things that are in the way. I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it's, I don't know, atmosphere or whatever it is. There's more things in the way that make the sun. And the light is traveling through, so it sort of slows it or makes it, it dims it a little bit, but that's not the case when it's directly ahead. The impact of the rays is not as strong. And so that's why you can't look at it when it's directly above your head.
Who wrote that?
I'm sorry?
Where did they write that?
Where did they write what?
What commentary was that?
Oh, it's an anonymous Mifarish. It's a commentary on the side that just says, it's I'm not sure. I don't know who wrote
maybe
it.
Maybe it comes from Steinsaltz.
No, I'm reading here from the Mefarish. That's the traditional Gemara has on the sides.
Oh, okay.
Normally there's Rashi, so and there's no Rashi on Tami. It's just an anonymous commentary called the Mefarish, called the commentator. But I'm not sure who it is. I'm not sure if we know who it is. And that's just what he says about being galui, about being revealed when it's up directly ahead, above. Amar lahem. So now Alexander asks this other question. Shemaim nivru tchila o'aretz. What was created first, the heavens or the earth? So Amru, they said, Shemaim nivru tchila shenemar b'shipra elokim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz. The heavens were created first because the Genesis says, Genesis 1:1, created the heavens and the earth. That means heavens came first. Amar lahem. Or nivra tchila o'choshek. What was created first, light or darkness? Amrulo, milta da, ein la pitar. They said, oh, we don't have an answer for that question. Namrule, the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? Namrule, choshech nivrat tchila. They should have said darkness was created first. Dichtiv, arsa tato vavoh, vachoshech. Vahadar, vimar elohim, elohim yi or vahi or. The Torah says, first there was choshech, right? And that's like right in the beginning of the Torah. And then the first thing that was created was light. But there was darkness already, then light was created. So darkness came before light. So why didn't they just give them that? Why did they say, oh, we don't know the answer? No one has the answer to that question. Why didn't they just say darkness? So the Gemara answers, Sabri, Dilma Ati Lishayule, Male 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 Mata Malifnim, Male Achor. They were concerned that he was going to start asking them like really, metaphysics questions about the creation of the world and what's above, like the universe is expanding, what is it expanding into? These questions that they just don't know the answers to. So they didn't want to go into that. What was created first, darkness or light? What? If darkness was created, then what was there before darkness? If darkness is the absence of light, there's no light. Is there dark? They didn't want to get into this whole like deep philosophics, metaphysics conversation. So they just said, we don't have an answer to that question. But if that's the case, then why did they entertain the question and said, which came first, the earth or the heavens? They should have just shut that question down too and said, there's no answer to that question. Why did they entertain that and answer that question and say, oh, Shemayim, based on the verses? Originally they thought, they thought he was just like, stop, he was just asking, like, I'm curious. Like, he thought he was just like asking these general questions. But
they
once they realized he asked another question on that subject, they realized he was interested in exploring these metaphysical questions. So then they said, okay, we're not going to go down this road. We're not going to answer that question. No one has the answer to that question. They didn't realize that's what he was initially planning on doing. So that's why they entertained it the first time. Once they realized what he was asking, that's when they stopped. They stopped entertaining it. Okay, Amar Lahem. Idein mikrei chakim. So which one of you, or how does one become wise? The one who is wise is the one who can anticipate the future. Who can anticipate, you know, what's going to come about, which is sort of an interesting question. I'm sure there's a commentary that says, is he saying that they weren't so chacham? If they could not have anticipated that he was going to ask more questions about this, and they themselves are saying the wise person is someone who can anticipate what's going to happen, and they were not able to anticipate it, I'm not sure. There's probably someone who says this is sort of like a veiled critique. But Alexander to the chachamim saying, like, you're obviously not so wise because you really didn't anticipate what line of question I was about to ask you, that you answered one, not the other. So I don't know. Okay, but that's that. So Ezio chachamar v'etzamilat, Amar Lahem, Ide mikre gibor. Who's a gibor? It's like a strong person. Amar le, is a gibor. A kavesh yitro, someone who is able to conquer their yetzer hara. Amar le, ide mikre ashir. Who is wealthy? Amar le, ezu ashir, smech b'chko. Who's wealthy? The person who's happy with his lot. Amar lehen, ma ya'avid inish v'yichya. What should a person do in order to live? Amar le, yamit atzmo. He should like kill himself. Obviously not literally kill himself. The Mefarish on the side says, yashpila, make himself lower, right? You want to live a long life. So, you know, make yourself a little more humble, a little more modest, maybe a little more modest of a lifestyle. What should a person do in order to die? He shouldn't cause himself to live, presumably. So again, this is the opposite. Then the virus is the opposite. So how do you make yourself die? So you make yourself so high and mighty and prestigious that the Mefarish says people are going to start giving you this ayin hara. They're going to get jealous of you, and then you're going to die from that ayin hara. So it's sort of like an opposite thing. You want to make yourself, live a long life. You sort of lower your standards. You want to make yourself live a short life, so raise your standards. Probably, a strong muster there for just our lives and the lives we lead in general. Amar lehen, ma yaved inish vidkabel al briyata, amru yisnei malchu v'shaltan. So he asked them, how do you become, like, I guess, a popular person? So they said, yisna malchu v'shaltan. So you should hate power in government. Then the Farashir says, vidkablu dvarav v'yavu oto. If you're like against the government, everyone's going to listen to what you say and love you. Someone who's always, rubbing shoulders with power. Everyone's going to start hating you because you're rubbing shoulders with the most powerful people. They're going to start hating you. And so you want to be beloved by people, stay away from positions of power because people don't like positions of power. Or people are going to be jealous of people in positions of power. Okay, Amar Lehu. My answer is better than your answer. He says, I've got a better answer. Instead of, the Mefarish here says, I'm smarter than you. I have got better advice. You should become very close to the powers. Tamid, you should always be talking with them. And then you should use your relationship with powerful people to do good things for other people. That's how you get people to like you. Put yourself in a position of power and then use it to their advantage. Okay. We'll go a little bit more. Amar lehen, v'yama ya'e lemeidar, o b'yabashta ya'e lemeidar. Is it better to live on land? Or is it better to live in the sea or better to live on land? It's actually better to live on land. How do I know? Because everyone, whenever any sailor goes out to sea, they always can't wait until they get back to land. Every sailor is like that, but people on land, they're fine on land. People in the sea can't wait to get, they don't feel at ease until they're back on land. So that tells you that it's better to live on land than on Etsy. Amar lehen, idei minchon chakim yatir. He says, which one of you is the smartest? Amar leh, kulana kachana shavim. We're actually all equally smart. Deha kol milta de'amar lana v'chad patarnalach. Just because every question you've asked us, we've actually all had a consensus. We all agree and we've all answered the question together. We're all equal. Amar lehen, ma dein atristun l'kibli. So why are you like fighting against me? The Mefarisher says, he says, where is it? Why is it you guys are constantly, you're disagreeing with me? You don't accept our deities. You know that we're the majority and you are subservient to us. So why don't you accept our way of life and our religious life? Why do you continue to fight against us? Sometimes the Satan wins. Here the Farish says, Stana Nitzach, Zaino Raya. It's not proof. The fact that you're winning right now doesn't mean anything. Satan always wins every now and then. You're winning. That we're serving to you. That means that you're more powerful. You're the right one. Stuff like that happens all the time. That's not a guarantee that that's what that means. Amar lahen, ha'ana maktilna yatchon b'gzer malchim. He's like, I'm going to kill you by decree of the king. So Amrule, they say back to him, shaltam biad malka. So the authority is in the hand of the king. And they're like, you can do that. Lai malka kazav, but it's not good for the king to lie. What does that mean? So here again, the Mefarish says, biad cha hamem shalit laso. You have the power to actually execute us. We don't deny that. Shitam alech basar. Ava bekach nicham tanu, shif tachtanu shalo taseim anu ra'av, inna ela malach l'dabar sheker. But you promised us, you're right, you could kill us. But you promised us that you were going to keep us, you were going to treat us at peace, you weren't going to kill us. So okay, you could kill us, but that's not really appropriate for someone who's in such a position of power to promise us peace and a safe passage and then go ahead and kill us. All right, so they caught him. So miyad, albishadon levushin da'argivan, ushte manaychon da'hava al-tzavarehon. So immediately he dressed them in this fine clothing and he put these golden necklaces on them because he realized that they had sort of won that argument. He wanted to execute them, but he couldn't because they were right. He promised them safe. He promised them that he would not kill them. So he couldn't, it's not right for him to then go back, renege on that in his position of power. All right, I think we will stop here at the bottom of Lamed Bet, Amud Bet, and then we'll resume again. Oh.